Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. Thank you for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministry. And for those who will download and listen to this program later, I thank you for listening as well. Tonight, we're going to be reading out of Galatians chapter 4. This is one of Paul's letters to one of the churches he began. And basically, he's writing to them to remind them who they are in the body of Christ. Before we begin with our lesson, let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you died for us so we may live, that your blood washes us clean from our sins, Lord, that we could live according to your will, not our own will, Lord. For we pray this in the name of Jesus who reigns forever in heaven and upon the earth. Amen and amen. All right, chapter 4 of Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, under the guardians of the stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, were bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fulfillment of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Holy Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, there an heir of God through Christ. Let's stop here for a moment. Now, basically, what Paul is telling the people here is that they don't have to call themselves, I am a sinner no more. Many of the people in churches today, they still believe that they are still a sinner, which they should say, no, I was a sinner. Now I am a child of the living God, whom Christ brought down to earth, who died for my sins, so I could be adopted in the body, right? That's what you should be saying, and that's what you should know. And why Paul has to write this, because many people still believed, and I would even say still today in some churches, that yes, they are saved, but yet they're still that old sinner that they once were, and they have to keep on praying for forgiveness every single day, because somehow they still think they're a slave. They're still held in bondage of sin, which in truth, you're not. You're free. Now, the enemy will like you to make you think you're still a slave, because if you're free, you can always rebuke whatever he has plans to do to you. You can always rebuke him during when tough times happen. In your life, you can rebuke that as well. And the fact of it is that what he wants you to do, he also wants you to miss out on many of the blessings that the Heavenly Father wants to give to you. Because if you still think you're still that same person, yet you're still part of the church in the body of Christ, and you still think you're a sinner, that the enemy's trying to get to you, he's cheating you out of the blessings that Christ Jesus wants to give to you. So rebuke those ideas and get those thoughts out of your head. Now you may say, well, I'm not the very perfect Christian. Well, who is really a perfect Christian? We are a growing Christian. We keep on growing in Christ by reading his word, and because these words are living words, and we keep on growing by not going back to the old sins that held us back. We're a child who's growing up spiritually is basically what we're doing. And when we grow up spiritually, we do mature. And yet the education is never further away because we still keep on growing. Do we not now? And the fact of it is, as Paul said in one of his letters about when you get chastised by the Heavenly Father, that is a good thing. And you know why that is a good thing? It is a good thing is because, just say, if you're making a mistake and you're being chastised, it is good that the Father in Heaven is telling you what you did was wrong rather than him not saying anything to you at all. Think about it. I'd be kind of afraid if the Heavenly Father didn't tell me I was doing something wrong, because that means that my heart's so hardened that I can't hear him anymore. But with my heart open, and as sure well as you may understand this, and with your heart's open, that you can understand when you do something wrong, and you're being told about that. And think of it this way. You as a parent, when your child does something wrong, you correct them, do you not now? Do you beat them up and abuse them? Of course not. You correct them. You chastise them so the next time they remember not to do a certain thing again, right? That is exactly what the Heavenly Father does. Now, is he going to punish you? No, he's not going to punish you if you make a mistake, but if you understand that you're not supposed to do it anymore, then don't do it, right? Now, if you walk away from God on purpose, still thinking you're a sinner, and you get yourself in those old things that you got you into trouble in the first place, remember, you got yourself into trouble, and that's what you did. Christ didn't do that to you. He didn't bring evil before your life to mess up your life again. You did it because you chose to think, well, I'm still this old sinner. I have to go to church every Sunday. I have to keep on praying to God every night to forgive me of my sins because I did the same thing again. Well, the Lord Christ is not putting you in bondage. He's not throwing evil your way. So if you say if you happen to drink a fifth pint of whiskey one night or get high and you're stopped by a police officer and you're arrested for a DUI, and you have to serve time in jail, whose fault is that? Did God tell you to drink the fifth pint of whiskey? Think of it this way. If you had been following what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted you to do, would you have been arrested for a DUI? No, because you wouldn't have been touching that liquor. You wouldn't have been smoking that marijuana. You would have been staying afraid from all that stuff that can get you in trouble, things of the flesh that will get you into trouble through the law or even in your personal life, because if you have a substance abuse or any kind of other abuses or anger issues in your life, it can affect your home, especially if you happen to be married. And if you walk with Christ in the first place, think about this. Would your marriage have fallen apart or on the verge of falling apart? Well, of course not. It wouldn't happen. But when you chase your spouse away because of your own personal behavior, it's not going to work. The thing of it is, my friends, when you walk with Jesus Christ, you have to remember, you are no longer a sinner. Paul emphasizes this in this scripture here. The thing of it is, you are now a child of God. You're heirs to the throne now. You're part of the family. You've been adopted by God. You are now grafted within the children of Israel because the covenant he made with Abraham, you're part of the covenant now because through the Spirit of God that he's done by dying upon the cross for our sins, he made it possible. Think of it this way, my friends, if you have any doubts about God not loving you. Go back to Genesis, when God created everything on the earth, including male and female. What did God say to everything he made that he created? It is good. And he created man in his own image, did he not now? And gave man authority upon the earth with that responsibility. And what did he say after he created man and woman? It is good. So God, creating this in his own image, saw us as good. What do you think the reason why Christ had to die upon the cross? Because God said when he created us, it was good. What was not good was our own personal behavior, our own sinful nature, our selfish behavior, because that's what basically sin is being selfish and wanting what our own needs is it not now? Adam and Eve showed that when they decided they were going to eat off the fruit. Those things that God told them not to do. That was the only thing he told them not to do as a parent. He told them, don't touch that, or you will die. And, of course, with Satan infiltrating inside the serpent, what do? They listen to an animal who they weren't supposed to be listening to an animal in the first place, is because God made Adam and Eve over the animals. The animals are supposed to listen to them, right? Correct. So, they listen to them. And you can see where the attitude, the selfish attitude was, where Satan, that was inside the snake, was telling Adam and Eve, and think of it is, here they were taking advice from an animal and an evil spirit, telling them that God was a liar. You won't surely die if you eat off the fruit. One thing, if you take advice from an animal, you have to be crazy or that power hungry. And if you take advice from an evil spirit, remember, an evil spirit's a liar as well and wants something from worse for you. All these people who are into this medium stuff and witchcraft and all this stuff, they're slaves. You want to see someone who bondage their sin? They are. You could say, like with the comedian Peter Sellers, some of you may know him from the old Pink Panther movies, but in his personal life, he got into all this medium stuff and this baloney that all these entertainers were getting into this at the time, this Aleister Crowley baloney that they were getting into, that Peter Sellers believed that the color purple was evil and it would kill him. So he made sure that wherever he was, like his dressing room or any place else on the set when he was making a movie, that the color purple would not be shown because it meant death for him. Now, obviously, a medium told him this, and he believed the medium. A medium who is demonically controlling that woman, right? So, if Satan is such a great friend, think about this, my friends. Why would he have you do little petty things, be afraid of purple? Or, as Aleister Crowley believed, a big Satanist activist, he believed in burning his hair follicles and burning his nails after he cut them because he was worried that someone might put a curse upon him. If Satan was such a great friend, if he was an advocate of Satan and was trying to spread his gospel throughout the world, why would he put a curse, if someone put a curse on him or on you, if you were his big advocate? If you were his big advocate, he wouldn't put a curse on you, would you think? Well, of course he would. Well, he's not now, because Satan doesn't like you anyway. And if you're foolish enough to follow Satan and his demons, then you've made a big blunder. And anything you're going to be doing, you're going to be a slave. You're going to be a slave of burning your hair follicles or burning your nails, being afraid of certain colors, or being afraid to do certain things on one day because the calendar or the stars tell you, don't do it on this day. It's better if you do something on another day. And when you have this kind of stuff in your life, you're a slave. You're part of the bondage that Satan's trying to hold you in right there. Because when Satan rules over your life, you are a slave. And that's how he wants you to be. He wants you to be worshiping him, and he can treat you like dirt because that's what he thinks of you as a piece of dirt. And he wants to lie to you and think that God thinks the same way about you. If that was true Why did he send Christ Jesus down to here to die for our sins to free us? Remember, as I said before, when God created man and woman, he said it was good. So if God says you are good, what do you think he wants for you? He wants to bless you. He wants that same relationship he had with Adam and Eve before they fell in the garden. Because they were children of God before they sinned. So he wants that same relationship with them, with you. But the only thing you have to do is let go of the things that have kept you away from Christ Jesus. Repent of your sins and come to him. And for you who made this confession a long time ago and have come to Christ, but yet you still think that you're the same old sinner that you once were, but you're only saved when you have to pray every day about forgiveness of your sins, well, my goodness, don't believe in that lie that Satan's putting you under. He's trying to make you think you are a slave. The truth is, you are free. You are free from the bond. You can rebuke Satan anytime you want to and his demonic forces that are trying to put a thought in your head to make you think that's a good idea to do. Rebuke it right away in the name of Jesus, because Satan has no control over you, because you are now a child of God. You are a royal part of a royal family. You are part of the royal family of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now saved. You now walk with Jesus Christ. And if you have his Holy Spirit living within you, you get your counseling from him. But if you want to know how, read your scripture. Pray and pray. If you notice, my friend, Jesus, when he walked upon this earth, he always emphasized prayer. When Jesus' own spirit was troubled, what did he do? He went off and prayed. Jesus showed us, as a teacher as well, what to do when we walk with the Lord. We pray when our spirit is troubled. We pray when things are good or good things are happening in our life. We pray when bad things do happen, because let's remember, this world still has sin in it, and sinful things can happen to us. And if you who are a Christian, if your spouse is doing mean things to you, it is because that spouse walks with the world. I'm not suggesting you divorce them. Perhaps they'll come to Christ. Now, they may not be mean to you if you are saved, if you have a spouse, but that is good if they're not mean to you. However, as Paul emphasized in his writings, do not divorce them, because through your belief in Christ Jesus, they too may come and accept Christ as their heavenly Father. Now, if someone is beating you at the end of your life or affecting your home so badly that it's affecting your children's life, you need to think of your children and get out of that relationship. Do I suggest divorce? I don't like divorce myself. I would say that if you need to get out of there because you're afraid for your own life, for your safety of your children, or whatever things going on that can affect your children as they grow up, you need to get out of there for your own sake. Until the spouse repents of their sin and stops doing what they're doing. And this is what I'm saying, because many people, even within the church, have this idea that they can still sin and walk with Christ. Well, no, you can't, because if you do that, you're still a slave, and you really are not walking with Jesus if you are still a slave. Now, if you're walking with him, you wouldn't be doing the things you used to do. You're doing new things in Christ Jesus, right? Correct. So let's read on further in our scripture today. Let's go start out with verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by untrue are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather, are known by God, isn't that something? When you come to Christ Jesus, you are known by God. World leaders may not know who you are. The world may not know who you are. You may not be on the TV screen or the movies or the internet, people may not see you. But God sees you. He knows your every thought. He knows you. Think about it. God doesn't judge you by how much money you make or who you are or what you do for a living. He wants you, you personally. Think about it. In God's eyes, you're worth dying for. You're worth being in his kingdom. You are that important to him. You're the star in his eyes. And that's who he wants. He wants you in his life. But after you have known God, or known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and brightly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? See, this is what I was just saying before, in your bondage. And frankly, what we see so many times in our churches today, Paul saw it after he started these church up. He saw this was happening, church, where many people began thinking that they could still serve Christ and still do the same thing that used to hold them in bondage. Think about it, my friends. What do you think the apostles have warned us about Satan for? Because he tries to fool us. He's always going, taking you and I back to Eden, saying, well, did God say this? And we try to find loopholes around things, because suddenly we think of the world as being better than God's word. Oh, my friends, if we follow things that are not of God, we're going to die. And if we love those things more than we do the Lord God, we will die a spiritual death. Paul is warning them because what they're doing is wrong, and they're going to get a big surprise when they don't make it into heaven if they continue on living in the bondage way. For some of them, and probably for others, you may say that they're going to have a big surprise that they may have had so many blessings upon the earth that they didn't get because of cutting themselves off by thinking, well, I'm still this same old sinner that I once was. Think about it, my friends. Don't walk in that light. I should say darkness. Walk in the light, but don't walk in the darkness. Don't think that darkness and light goes in the same thing in your heart, because it doesn't. Because they won't have any, you have to make your home in somewhere. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. If you choose hell on earth, well, it's not going to work out for you, because you're never going to have peace. But Christ Jesus brings you peace. What is more important? Christ Jesus or the world? Christ Jesus who brings you peace? Christ Jesus who gives you, what frees you from bondage? Why would you want to go back to that bondage? Because you remember how it brought you misery the first time. Why go back to it again? Verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become as I am, for I am as you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that I, possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And you'll find this in many churches too, or if you're in a church group, if you tell the truth about what's in the scripture than what they want to believe, you find the person telling the truth becoming the enemy inside of the church, or even inside a little study group. And it could actually happen. because there's so many people who want to hold on to that old bondage that they once had. They don't want to listen and hear that they don't have to do that anymore. Let it go. Give it to Christ Jesus. And let him rule upon you. Let him rule over you. And walk the way he wants you to walk. And stop living the way that you once did. Because when you live that way, you're not bearing any fruit. You're still living that same lie that you once lived before. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. All right? And if you notice over here, I would say that Paul feared that the Galatians were starting to think of Paul as the enemy because he was telling them things they did not want to hear. And even to this day, there are some in the church who are critical of the writings of Paul and what he had said because they don't want to listen to what he has to say because many of them want to do what they want to do for their own heart's desires and believe they can still walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot happen. The zealousy court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, but you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you, I like to present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. And those are pretty tough words that Paul told to these people. Paul still considers them brethren, no doubt about it. Now, I'm not going with always saved, once saved, always saved, but I think that when we start walking away from Christ, when we start going back to the old ways that separated us from him, what happens is our hearts begin to harden and we separate ourselves from Christ. Christ is telling you to come on back, and that's what I've been saying, coming back to the book of Genesis. When God made man and woman, he said, it was good, right? So, when we come to Christ and we're born again through him, and you're feeling like tugging your heart when you're doing something wrong, that is a good thing. That is your Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit telling you, stop doing it. Now, there may be a time when your heart hardens that he may let you go and do your own thing, and that'll be your decision, because when your heart hardens and you don't hear him anymore, he'll let you do that as well. But my friends, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to play Russian roulette with your Christ? You should know better than that. Paul warns the church of Galatians, and he warns in these letters, warn us today about how we should live according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how to live is we don't go back to the old ways that separated us from the Lord God. We walk like Christ, live according to his will. We let the Holy Spirit move us. We read his words. We pray every day. We pray, and prayer is a great thing to do. If you have that temptation in your life to move away from of Christ Jesus, pray. If you're feeling yourself right now going back to the old ways and you're moving away from Christ, pray. Find a prayer partner to pray with you and pray. If you feel like your relationship with Christ isn't what it used to be, pray. Just come back and pray. Find a prayer partner to pray with you and pray together. Worship together. Do not fall away, for Christ still has his hand out there for you, and you feel him still searching for you, and you feel that in your heart that you're doing wrong, but you want to come back. That is the Holy Spirit telling you, come on back, son. Don't fall away. Come back and come home. And be with me. Follow me, and I will bring you rest. Follow me, and I will bring you peace. Follow me, and I'll make you a great prayer warrior. Follow me, and I'll make sure that whatever thing Satan tries to throw at you, I will rebuke that because you asked that of me. I will do it because you asked me to, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is there for you and me. And he wants you and I to walk according to his ways. And he wants you and I to be free from that sin that he brought us out of. He doesn't want you and I to go back to the old sin, to be that slave again, to be pounded on by the old slave thing where he puts upon you, Satan put upon you and I before we knew who Christ was. But now we know who Christ is. And we don't have to be that person anymore. We don't have to say, I am a sinner in church. Pray for me. You were a sinner. You are now a child of God. And now you are a child who is growing in process. And my friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to pray for one another. Jesus made that emphasized many times when he was upon the earth. He told his disciples, and these are words. Why did the disciples put these in the four Gospels? That he told them to pray for one another and love one another. Because these words were not just to them, they were to you and I as well. Pray for one another. Love one another. And let's all be what children of God are supposed to be. Happy. Showing love to one another. Dignity to one another. Respect one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And not go back to the way it was. To the way we used to be. But be the children of God that we're supposed to be. His children. And let us not show the world that we are ashamed of Christ Jesus, because he even told us through Scripture that if we do that, he will show shame about us to the Father. So let us not be shameful children. Let us be good children. And let us live according to his will and grow every day and be perfect as Jesus Christ was perfect. And some of you might be saying, well, you're just trying to say that you're Mr. High and Mighty. No, that's what religion tells you. Religion tells you and I that we can be pious. But we're not pious. Look what Jesus said when he talked about the sinner who prayed at the wall with the Pharisee. And the Pharisee praised God and said that he was thankful he was not like any other man, like that sinner, like the tax collector. And the tax collector said, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. And the Lord heard the tax collector's prayer and forgave him. A religious person will boast about their so-called righteousness. A humble person who walks with Christ won't have to remind Christ of him being self-made righteous because he's humbled, because he knows at one time they were a sinner themselves. And they're grateful by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that they are now saved through him. And now we want to reach out to everyone in the world and tell them the good news that they too do not have to be a slave to sin no more. That they too could come to Christ Jesus. If only Jimmy Swagger himself would have read and studied what Paul said about going back and being held in bondage. His ministry that was so blessed at one time, and he had more people coming to see him at that one time than they did Billy Graham. But because he had his foot in the world and let himself be held in the bondage of a sexual behavior, he was caught, and God couldn't protect him because what he was doing was not right in his eyes, so he was caught. Now, did he come back? I don't know, because I don't know what's in his heart, but Christ does, and I can't judge him. Only Christ can judge him. But if he's come back, hallelujah. But if he hadn't have done that mistake, which I'm sure he understands this himself, all that wouldn't have happened. And what I'm saying is that when we have one foot with Christ and one foot in the world, it's not going to work, because you have to have 2 feet with Christ and no feet in the world. When you have both feet with Christ, think about it. Would you get in trouble for doing something you weren't supposed to be doing? Of course not. You wouldn't be caught drinking and driving. You wouldn't be caught embezzling from your church. You wouldn't be caught cheating on your wife or you're cheating on your husband. You wouldn't be caught doing all these things that will get you in trouble in the world, the secular world, I should say, or even in your own marriage, because you wouldn't be doing it if you walk with Christ. If you have an affair with somebody and you get caught and it destroys your family, of course, what's going to happen? Did Christ make it happen? Of course not, because why would Christ put evil in your life? He died for you to be away from that. If you walk with Christ and stayed with Christ, you wouldn't be caught doing adultery, would you? Because you wouldn't want to do it. Because you knew better, because you're now a new creature of Christ. If you walk with Christ, the whiskey bottle, all the alcohol out there, or even all the substance out there, the substance abuse that you do, the drugs that you put in your body, you wouldn't be willing to do anything for the drugs if you had walked with Christ, would you? If you walk with Christ, you would know better and not do it. Your life would not be ruined, right? Of course you would. But if you walk with that and you have substance abuse in your life, things are going to happen to you, right? Bad things will happen. And you become a slave. So if you walk with Christ and they're still tempted by that old sin that you once did, take it to the Father in heaven. Don't think, oh, God's going to punish me because I'm so tempted and I think I want to do this again. Well, take it to your Father. The Father will talk to you and help you not to do it. Talk to a friend who is a true blue child of God, and have them pray over you so you do not fall into sin. Because Satan is always going to try to make you fall back into the old way. He's going to try to make you, if you're addicted to pornography, he's going to try to bring you back into pornography one way or another. But if you wear the full armor of God, as Paul tells us to wear, we won't have to worry about falling. And if we're tempted that badly over this, we have someone we know in the church that we can always count on to pray for us. And that's who we do. We go to them and then we have a prayer together so we do not fall back into this old bondage and we do not make that mistake of sinning at that point in our life, because we will be free from that sin if we pray together, because the full armor will be there and that sin will not have any control over us because we are children of God and the Holy Spirit is right with us, and God rules in our hearts and our minds, and we do the right thing, and we are not controlled by the world or those satanic forces no more. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we are free from sin forever. Amen and amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. Thank you all for calling in and listening later on. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives, and I pray that this message that was sent to you, you'll understand better that you don't have to call yourself an old sinner no more, but you are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have those temptations that used to rule over your life and are nagging at you to go back, find yourself a prayer partner. Pray with them. Together, when you both pray, no evil will have control over you. You'll still be free because you'll feel the Holy Spirit within your heart as you're praying. And you'll feel stronger in the armor of God, and you'll sin no more. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life, and may you always be with Jesus Christ forevermore. And I say this in the name of Jesus, amen and amen.